Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome to the Krug Show meets the Cone Zone. Hope everybody's having a great day. It is July the 22nd, 2 o'clock on the West Coast, 5 o'clock on the East Coast. Hello, hello, hello. Hopefully everybody's having a good warm summer. Camp starts tomorrow. The report date is tomorrow, I should say. We'll talk to Shanahan and Lynch tomorrow. Camp practices, I believe, start the following day. We will both be there in Santa Clara for all of it. Welcome to the Krug Show, brought to you by Pig at a Pig, all the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week. We're also brought to you by Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles. Grant, how are you, man? What's going on?
I'm doing great, man. Just trying to squeeze out a little bit, the last little bit of golf before training camp starts. So I'm heading out to Chabot with my nephew after this.
Nice. And you've been playing.
Just a 9-hole course. I hurt my back, so we're just going to do a little pitch and putt.
Uh-oh, what happened? You hurt your back playing golf?
I broke my back. Spinal. There's something called a Duffer's fracture, like when you hit the mat at the, you know, right, at the driving range hard enough. Right. I was really wailing with the 3-wood, and I'm not good at golf, so I hit the mat, not the ball, and it's really been hurting for about a month, so I'm shutting it down.
By the way, you've been playing a ton of golf.
I think that's how I got hurt. I need to stop for a while.
How many rounds do you think you've played just since like the beginning of June? So that would be, we're coming up on almost
20,
months.
15, 20.
So you're playing a lot.
I was playing a lot. And I shot a 92 at Franklin Canyon. I'm very proud of it. Very proud of that. But now I'm done. I'm done.
My buddy aced, I thought it was 11. It's that blind look uphill. So we hit the ball. It's the blind look uphill on the par 3. And he aced it. So he hits his drive and he's like, it's right at it. It's right at it. But we can't see the hole. So then I hit my drive. We finally get up to the green. And I'm like, I know it was sort of at the hole, but I thought it was short and it wasn't short. Maybe I hit it too far. Maybe it's too long. He's like, so my buddy is just assumes that he hit it too short or too far and that it's gone. So he drops. Like on my second shot, he took the cart, went up there, didn't see the ball, never looked in the hole, drops and played the rest of the hole for my ball. And then when it was time to tend the flag for my putt, he's like, my ball's in the hole. He didn't realize he aced. I think it was 11. It might have been 4, but I forget. It was one of the holes of
at Chabot or at Franklin Canyon?
Franklin. Oh, wow. Yeah, Franklin Canyon. Wow. That's windiness cool. Of Hercules. There you go.
That was nice.
Little insider knowledge for those of you who know KMBR of the past, Bob Agnew's favorite course that he would play on Saturdays, Franklin Canyon. You like Franklin nice. Canyon. Yeah, it's actually not bad. It's windy. It's windy though. And you definitely gotta read the wind.
Yep.
All right. We're talking Niners. Niners start camp. And I guess why don't we start with the biggest story by far is Brandon Ayuk. Will he hold out? Is he gonna show up? Before we get to that, what would you say is the biggest non Ayuk story in Niner camp in your mind?
Well, it's not just like the story of camp, but it's the story of the team. Like Ayuk is the story for right now, but I think big picture with this team, it's the morale of the team. Like look at the Eagles last year. The Eagles started off 10-1 last year. People forget that. But that first week they won 25-20 over New England. They looked shaky. They looked shaky the whole year. You could kind of see like that was a team with a glass jaw. Then they got knocked out that one time by the Niners and their entire season fell apart. So I'm curious, like big, small picture is like, you know, what's up with Ayuk? How's Ricky Pearsall doing? I love all the small picture stuff. It's important for training camp. But like, I also want to keep in mind, this team just lost the Super Bowl again.
Yep.
Like, what does that look like? What does that do to them?
What do you think? I mean, we've both been around this team for years. They've gotten really, really close to that sixth Lombardi. They missed it with Harbaugh. They missed it in Miami against Kansas City. They missed it this year in Vegas against Kansas City. They lost out on the NFC Championship game to the Rams. They did the same thing to the Eagles. They've gotten really close. They're almost used to falling short of their goal at this point. What do you think from afar the mindset of the team is going to be?
Messaging wears off after this. I mean, Seifert got fired after 8 years. Walsh was done after 10. So is he the same type of motivator? He's not a big rah-rah guy, but his players have always had unwavering belief in him. Is that still there? But then also it's like, this is a defensive team. I know the offense is great and it gets most of the highlights, but when it's time to win the game, Kyle will kick a field goal and ask the defense to win it. So they missed D'Amico last year. They're kind of flailing for a defensive coordinator now. They have like two guys doing the job. Did they figure that out? Because last year with the Eagles, I mean, they were sort of in between defensive coordinators too, right? They had to bring in Matt Patricia and it never worked out. So that's what I want to see with the 49ers. Like they've done so much to change their defense. Is it actually better?
I would still say, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm putting too much emphasis on the quarterback in this league, but I just think that the biggest non-Ayuk story is still, now it's not for me, but I think for the rank and file Niner fan and for the nation of football fans, what is Brock Purdy? Is Brock Purdy a really fortunate guy in his first couple of years? How legit is Brock Purdy? What is Brock Purdy? And I bring this up because I saw a video today where the guy came out and said, you know, Brock Purdy was still going through extensive rehabilitation of that elbow injury right up through Thanksgiving. I mean, we're talking about late November. And yet he still put up a near MVP kind of year. And I was looking at some Warren Sharp stats this weekend, and Sharp had completion percentage on throws 20-plus yards. Brock Purdy was the best in football at 55%. Mac Jones was the worst in football at 8%. But Mahomes himself, who's the best quarterback in the game, 28% completion percentage on throws over 20-plus yards. So Purdy is, forget the dink and dunk, this guy's taking shots down the field, and he's completing the highest percentage of shots down the field, and he's doing it behind a line that Warren Sharp says is 17th in the NFL. I won't fight him on it. I'll say that's probably about right. So, I mean, I guess to me, the biggest non-IU question is if you're not a believer of Purdy, or if you're still in that camp of, you know, he's a product of his surroundings, this year, I think, is going to be a really interesting year. It's his first full year of prepping as the full-time starter. I expect him to take a significant step forward. If he does, he could be the MVP of the league. To me, Purdy is still very much, and like exactly what Purdy is still very much a big question.
All right, I want to say something to that. Would you do me a favor and take the underdog thing down? Because I'm sponsored by Sleeper, and there's beef. It's like Kendrick and Drake.
No problem.
Thanks, appreciate it. No problem. But as far as the Brock thing goes, Here's why. I mean, he is a big story, but like last year he was coming off the UCL injury. And the question was not like, is he bad, but like, is he ready? Mm-hmm. And he threw all those interceptions in camp. And I'm not sure that he was sure he was ready. Like, it was a question. Now it's like, he could throw a pick every day. He just finished fourth in the MVP voting. It's hard to make too much out of practice with him. I feel like he's almost gotten past that. With Jimmy, it mattered. But Brock, it's like, if he has a bad camp, it's news, but it's not like, oh, rethink everything. Because he did that last year. But I do want to see, like, does he take another step? Now that he's healthy and a little bit stronger, can he sort of be the star out there as opposed to, well, you know, don't worry about it. Defense. There was always a story. There was always an explanation and it was valid. But this year, it would be nice to see Brock be the star out there now that he's in year three.
I'm just kind of wondering, does he have another level to get to? It seems like he's maximizing, but he seems to think that he can get better within this system. But yeah, when you see those numbers and you're like sitting there going, wait a second, Brock Purdy had the highest completion percentage on passes 20 plus yards down the field, almost double that of Mahomes, and makes Mac Jones look like, you know, Mac Jones 8% operating behind this whole line. It does make you go, wow, that's incredible.
I like watching Brock a lot, but in practice, right? I feel like you don't get the full Brock experience. Because I think Brock's best trait is how he escapes pressure. That dude is Houdini. And how many guys really escape pressure better than him? Mahomes and Josh Allen are great at it. Lamar Jackson runs into pressure a lot. I mean, really, those four. So that's like the full Brock experience. And you can't do that in camp. You're stationary. And, you know, he's not the most special arm in the world, so he's already playing from a disadvantage. But I want to see how he does in the pocket.
It is amazing that the escapability is the one physical trait that he has that I think most teams just don't. You know, they don't scheme for, they don't bank on. It always seems like it surprises them. The one he runs away from a rusher, it always looks like, how did he do that?
Like, how did he make amazing. That unblocked rusher miss? Now, he didn't do it in the Super Bowl, but in the NFC Championship against Green Bay, I mean, consistently last year, he did it.
He had some big runs against Detroit with the money on the table. He had a big run against Green Bay with money on the table. But I'm just, you know, I'm just wondering, how much better can he get? How much better can he get? And I think he can get better. And a lot of it's about the weapons around him. And do they have a vertical threat this year in Cowing for the first time in the Purdy era? Do they get Ayuk signed? What do these weapons look like this year? Do the Niners look old? They've played a lot of extra games, that's for sure, in recent years. One more on Ayuk.
Hold on real quick with Purdy before we go to Ayuk.
Yeah.
He's reaching a really critical point in his career where he's started for about a year and a half and he's been in a Super Bowl. So like Jimmy had the same exact career as Purdy up until now. Career, not quite the same numbers, but he didn't play with McCaffrey, but like win-loss record, going to the Super Bowl and losing, Jimmy was right there. And then after he lost the Super Bowl, his career steadily went downhill. The league caught up to him. All of his weaknesses got exposed. Like, is that what's going to happen to Brock? Because we've kind of starting to see there's an idea of how to defend the Niners offense when he's out there. You want to play more man-to-man coverage. Fine. Like, is he going to beat that? Or is that going to beat him? I would expect he's going to find solutions for the book on him, and he's not going to go down like Jimmy, but it's a critical point in his career.
It is interesting too. I saw this stat this weekend. It's been a decade since a quarterback led his team to the playoffs in each of his first two seasons in the NFL. So Brock's first season, he came off the bench and led the Niners to the playoffs. His second season, he led the Niners to the playoffs. As far as having happened before, Andrew Luck did it and Russell Wilson did it in 2012 and 2013. But outside of Brock, no one's done it since. CJ Stroud has a chance to do it this year. We'll see.
Wait. Didn't Lamar do it?
Did Lamar go in his first two seasons?
I think so. 18 and 19.
This was
Lamar did it. And like Purdy, he came in off the bench his rookie season.
So maybe it wasn't considered because, like,
but he didn't win a playoff game in either one.
Yeah, I mean, in this scenario, in this stat thing, it said basically that it hasn't been done since Luck and Wilson.
Okay.
And Stroud is going to do it this year. If he,
well, Luck and Wilson started the entire year.
So maybe that's the the difference between between the stats. But still, that's, you know, that's pretty impressive stuff, regardless of what caliber team
big time
you're on. Okay, the Ayuk thing. All right, he's not signed. Is he going to hold out? Is he going to be there tomorrow, or is he going to be there on when they have the first practices, or is he going to hold out?
He's going to hold out.
Or hold.
I mean, he would look really weak if he showed up, in my opinion. After all he said, and how, I don't want to say how tough he's acted, but like, he's postured in a very strong, I'm not taking this stance. Like, I'm not friends with the head coach, and I'm not giving any hometown discount, and there's other teams that would pay me this, and I'm standing on business. Like, that's how he's been all offseason. I think he needs to follow through. That's what Bosa did last year. He didn't talk about it, but he didn't show up. CeeDee Lamb isn't going to show up. Amari Cooper isn't going to show up. You think you're that kind of a player, you can't show up. Now, maybe the Niners tomorrow make Brandon Ayuk an offer of $28 million a year for 3, 4, 5 years, and he says, great, thanks, and it's over. But barring that, I don't think he shows up.
The Niners, according to reports released this week, declined New England's offer of their second-round pick for Ayuk on draft day, or at least before day two of the draft. And that to me, is not surprising. That seems like kind of a low price, to be honest, for Ayuk. And yet, there's all kinds of different ways this can play out. He could hold out. He could hold in. He could, you know, show up and play six games and then flip him the peace sign. He needs to play six games for the league, for the year to accrue. So if he comes out and he plays four games and that's it, and then walks, he's a fifth-year player again next year in the eyes of the NFL rules. If he plays six games, he's a six-year player and then could be franchise tagged by the Niners in that 6 year. But that's the designation. So what do you think? How's this going to play out? Do you think he holds out? And like, to me, if you know, if I'm being asked, how's this going to go? I think he's going to hold out and then, he's going to hold out or hold in. And I think within 3 or 4 weeks, they'll give him a deal. If by chance though, they're really dug in, they're not going to give him a deal, and he holds out, and he's headed towards, I'm not showing up until week 11. I think before week 11, they trade him. That's how I see it going. I don't think they're going to just sit there with their thumbs up their ass, letting this guy sit out in the middle of their Super Bowl year and get nothing out of the player and not a trade him. I understand that we don't want to trade him. Okay, you don't want to trade him. But what if he holds out and he's not going to show up till week 11 and he's going to basically ruin your Super Bowl chances or at least hurt your Super Bowl chances? You're still going to play this super tough guy game of chicken of, you know, we're going to bite off our nose to spite our face. We're not going to trade him. We're not going to get back compensation. We're not going to pay him. And he's going to sit out till, you know, week 11.
Let's go step by step. It's been reported, Ayuk said, that they haven't negotiated with him since May.
Right.
So they made an initial offer and that's that. And it's been reported that it's $26 million. So do you think the 49ers will increase their offer of $26 million per year?
I do. I think they should, and I think they will.
Okay, I would agree with that. I think they will too. So what are they freaking waiting for? Do it now. Why would you want him to miss any training camp? You saw what happened to Bosa last year. He missed all of training camp. You thought it would be fine. It wasn't fine. The defense suffered. He suffered. Why would you want to run that back? Make the next offer today. I don't get that. So assuming they make the offer, I think he'd probably accept it. $28 million a year seems fair. Barring that, he has to hold out. He has to skip games. I'm not saying he'll skip 11, but he could skip 1, 2, 3. And the Niners can tell themselves they have all the leverage, but that really hurts them. And now they look stupid. Like, you could have traded him and had a draft pick. You had the 34th pick. You could have had a player on the field. Now you have no one. And you could say, oh, Brandon's so stupid. He's hurting himself. Okay, but he's hurting you too. And you need to win the Super Bowl, which is why he's here. You thought you'd sort of keep him against his will and pay him less than market value, and he'd have to show up and play. Well, that backfired. Like, what are you going to do? They got to figure this out.
It's not just they got to figure this out between themselves and him. They got to also get a feel for what's the feeling of the in the room like. Because these are living, breathing organisms, these NFL locker rooms, these NFL teams. The players have a say. They have an impact on the chemistry, on the, you know, the overall attitude of the team. I mean, how does the team feel? Does the team feel that you're doing this player wrong? Or does the team feel like this player's, you know, asking too much and should wait his turn to get paid? I mean, I don't know how the players feel. They're never going to tell you, because if they're good teammates,
do some players think he's out of line? And do some players think that he's getting screwed? Like, is there a division all of a sudden? The pro Ayuk guys or the guys that feel like Ayuk's putting himself over the team? I mean, it just feels like drama and a bunch of negativity that's hanging over a team that should be gearing up for the next Super Bowl. There's so much positivity on this team, right? It's the best roster in football. But what are we talking about? Is this guy happy? Is the team even here? Like, if Ayuk were to show up at the first practice on Wednesday, what a morale booster that would be for everyone on the team. But that's not probably not going to happen. So what's that malaise going to look like, feel like?
You've watched, you know all the numbers. You know all the receivers in this category from the very top, right? Justin Jefferson, to the guys that are closer to Ayuk, to the guys that are beneath Ayuk, that he's going to be better, you know, or make more than. Is your opinion that the Niners should pay him what he's asking for? Or is your opinion that the 49ers should hold strong and you know, say, hey, we hold all the leverage and we'll pay him what we want to pay him? I mean,
I would have traded him to New England for 34. Hey, man, you want a lot of money? Go enjoy Foxborough. Go enjoy last place in the AFC East and make all the money you want. We're going to take 34 and trade, package that with 31, move up to 13, 14, and take our left tackle of the future, who's going to start it right. That's what I would have done, but that's in the past. What was the question again? Sorry, I didn't sleep well last night.
Well, no. No, the question is, like, what would you... Are the Niners in the right to not pay him?
Oh, yeah. No, okay.
Is he in the right when he's asking for...
If they want to say, look, man, you're not a true number one wide receiver. You're not. You're a high-level number two. Like, they could argue that. He's only had one special season. Okay, well, Jalen Waddle just got $28 million a year from Miami, and he's a high-level number two. So it seems like that $26 million a year offer isn't going to cut it. And you got to offer 28. And I think they probably will, and it should get done. But if Ayuk says no to 28, then he's lost. He lost me. I'm sorry. Lost me.
I'm there with you. Here's the stats that I can't get out of my head. And this is why I think they should pay him. He's been a good soldier. He's not a guy who holds court at his locker every game going, hey, I only got the ball this many times. What the hell? That's not him. And he's not a guy that when you're running the ball, you know, at the highest rate in the NFL, it's not like this guy's like, throw me the damn ball. I'm not even going to cinch up my gloves. I'm not even going to go full bore. This guy blocks down the field with a vengeance. He blocks like his life depends on it.
And he doesn't jog when he's not getting the ball. Sorry to take a shot at the other wide receiver, but I really doesn't do that, or hasn't.
No, there's no Cadillac in his game. So then I looked at two stats, and to me, these are very revealing stats. The 49ers, since they traded for Christian McCaffrey, throw the ball at the 32nd rate in the NFL. In other words, nobody throws the ball less since the Niners signed or traded for Christian McCaffrey. The other stat that's also just absolutely jumps off the page, the 49ers are in 2023 were 28th. Out of 32 teams in pace of play. They play a slow, deliberate pace. They run the ball a lot, the most. And they
almost never go hurry up with Brock for whatever reason. They do not do
Grant,
that.
Grant, you and I talked about this. I don't even know that they even have a hurry up anymore. I mean,
I've seen them do it with Sam Darnold, which makes me wonder what Kyle's issue is with Brock. Man, I don't understand that one. But they don't practice it.
Yeah, they never practice it. And they really don't. And they rarely use it. So if you're operating at the slowest pace, among the slowest paces in all of football, and you're running the ball at one of the at the lowest rate or the highest rate in all of football. So you're passing the ball at the lowest rate in all of football. And you have a receiver that in 106 targets wound up with a 1,300 yard season. Don't you just look, you're getting, aren't you, shouldn't you just be thrilled that you have the receiver that absolutely fits everything that you do and pay him handsomely? I think his numbers have been suppressed about three different ways here. He's suppressed because they run the hell out of it. He's suppressed because they play super slow. And he's suppressed because he plays on an offense that has like nine different weapons. So, I mean, it's there's reasons that his numbers are suppressed. And then you're going to confront him with his numbers and say, we're not paying you because your numbers aren't the same as these other guys' numbers. That seems disingenuous. Look,
before the draft, I said, I don't think they should pay him. It's a lot of money. They don't throw the ball that much. Trade him. That would have been fine before the draft. Now, I don't see how you do it now. Unless they can figure out something like, okay, we'll trade him for a comparable receiver who makes less. We'll trade him for Davante Adams. Like, great. Okay, you could do that, then wonderful. But I don't think you're going to do that. So what are you really doing? You really thought that you could get Brandon, you could have option three. Just make Brandon Ayuk play for less. Like, okay, well, he's not going to be happy. He's going to hold out. That's going to hurt your team. This doesn't seem like the best option. This doesn't seem like the best option at all.
And and we don't even know, but it's very likely that there's going to be some players that see his side of this. And that means there could be a division of the team down the middle. And there could be 20 guys in the room who think that you're being cheap and should pay Ayuk. And you might have 25 guys who think that Ayuk's a diva.
That's right.
And either way, that's not good for your football team to have 25 guys thinking he's a diva and 25 guys thinking you're cheap.
Larry, why did they get rid of Trey Lance? It wasn't just because media and fans talked about him. It's because there were some people on the team that thought he'd gotten a raw deal, and there were some people on the team that didn't want to think about him anymore. So it was like Trey Lance could have divided the team. Remember when he had that touchdown drive at the end of that preseason game last year, and like half the team came out and celebrated on the starters? I mean, couldn't have that happen. That's what they're facing right now with Brandon Ayuk. Like, he's a very important player and he's very upset. I'm sure he has friends on the team. How many are on his side? Are on his side?
Right. And then the other thing, and this would be a factor in my mind, is what is Jacob Cowing and Ricky Pearsall looking like? Because if they're looking like, you know, Randy Moss and Terrell Owens, then play super hardball with Ayuk. But since one guy's got the blue jersey, Pearsall, and hasn't taken a hit all summer, all spring, who know? And I kind of question whether or not he can take hits. And Cowing's a little guy as well. And who knows? Rookie receivers historically don't do anything significant. I mean, Randy Moss did. Most don't. So I don't. You know. I mean, it's like you don't. I don't even know which if Ayuk's, clout or credibility or, you know, a desire to get his money, he's going to look a whole lot better if those guys can't play.
We don't know if Pearsall is healthy or not or what's going on there. We know he's not healthy. Right. But, like, he looks solid in OTAs and stuff, but he didn't look like Brandon Ayuk. So they can say that Brandon Ayuk's a high two or a low, whatever, however they want to classify him, but he's way beyond Ricky Pearsall right now.
So then it comes down to how does this thing go with Ayuk? Do they play him? Do they trade him? Does he show up? Does he hold out? Do they get tired of him holding out? Do they get tired of him holding out and they trade him?
Game plan? It's been reported that they turned down the 34th pick this year for Ayuk. So how do you turn around and trade him now for something next year? I mean, that's just incompetence at that point.
That's the thing. A trade, and you and I are in total lockstep on this. A trade of Ayuk right now for 2025 draft picks is a major fail.
It's a huge fail. You could have had 34 this year, a player this year, and you were like, no, give me something next year. What?
The only way next year is in any way interesting is if New England gave you their first round pick. Because then you potentially have just traded Brandon Ayuk for what could be the first pick in the draft. So that, sure. That's different. Okay, that's different. But I don't expect
that offer that. Isn't out there.
Offer's not out there. I don't expect it to be out there. But then the question is, what do you do with Ayuk if you're not going to pay him? You said you're not going to trade him. I get the feeling that they say they're not going to trade him because his value goes down if you say you are going to trade him. So I just think that they're saying they're not going to trade him, but I think they're open to trading him if the right offer comes along. But that offer's got to be player based. It cannot be, you can throw a pick in there, but it has to be a player based trade.
That's why I like the Davante Adams thing. Like, why not
trade him?
He doesn't want to be on the Raiders. Ayuk doesn't seem to particularly want to be on the Niners. He's from Nevada anyway. Why not?
His sister wasn't it his sister like a day after the Super Bowl said that he was going to be a Raider next year? Or was his brother?
Or his sister or his girlfriend. Someone said something about hey, we might be staying here. Yeah, you stay on the Raiders. You be on that mediocre team and let Davante Adams come home. He's from East Palo Alto. He played at Pali High. I'm sure he'd love to play for the 49ers.
He is 32. Ayuk's 26. 31, 32. So he's 5 years older. That's 5 years of prime in the NFL that you're giving away in this trade.
But you don't have him on an extension yet, right? I mean, you're talking about fifth year option, maybe franchise tag, you know, like year to year you're talking about with him. So if that's the case, then is he better than Davante Adams right now? I don't know about that.
No, I think Devontae's better than him probably. He scored more touchdowns. I mean, he's not as fast. He doesn't get the same separation. Ayuk's more dynamic. Ayuk's greatest thing is he's younger. He's 26. The only thing is the NFL.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Receiver's prime is probably 7 or 8 years, and you're giving away a guy who's 5 years younger for a 5 year older receiver. Now, if you win the Super Bowl, probably nobody's going to care. If you fall short of it, though, people could care.
Here's what I would do. I would offer Ayuk to $28 million a year. Mm-hmm. There wouldn't be that much guaranteed money. Probably all of it would be in the next 2 years. You can get out of it after 2025. If he doesn't want that and he's holding out for $30 million a year, I would call the Raiders and say, I'm trading you Ayuk for Devontae Adams. What do you say?
I definitely think that I would much rather trade Ayuk to the Raiders, the Steelers, the Patriots than Green Bay, Washington, anybody in the NFC. People are like, trade him to Kansas City. What? That's the Charles Haley deal all over again. Some people say, trade him to Detroit. That's the Charles Haley deal all over again. You don't give a team that stands between you and the Super Bowl the difference maker that they lack. Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, it's just GM's 101 here. But to me, the ideal trade in my mind would be trade Ayuk to the Steelers. This is the deal that I've put together that I think is a good deal, because it has to be it can't be a pick deal. It has to be a player deal. So you trade Ayuk to the Steelers with Josh Dobbs and Cam Latou, who's probably not going to make your team, for their rookie linebacker Peyton Wilson, Justin Fields, and Darnell Washington, and a conditional mid-round pick based on how Ayuk plays. And in this deal, you're getting a better backup quarterback than Dobbs or Allen. You're getting a big blocking tight end to replace the fact that Charlie Werner just jumped to the Falcons in free agency. And you're getting in Peyton Wilson, a damn good linebacker who could step in and replace Dre Greenlaw this year while he's out, who could be a fantastic player. And if you're going to trade a great young 26-year-old Ayuk, I don't think it's anything wrong by saying, hey, I want a great young player in return. What do you think? This way you get a better backup quarterback, you get a better blocking tight end, you get a defensive piece to replace Greenlaw. You don't really need a receiver. I mean, you got all these other receivers. What do you think of that trade?
It seems a little unrealistic. I mean, you don't often see multiplayer deals like that. Also, like, did the Niners necessarily get better? A rookie linebacker, a backup quarterback, and a backup tight end? The way I look at it is the way the Niners have positioned themselves is it's all about this year. I mean, yeah, like, they have a future, but the way they're approaching this year is they have to have the best team possible this year because they're going to win the Super Bowl. So if they can't take a single step back, that's why I like the Ayuk for Adams, because you could argue that they get better in that trade. Now, they don't get better long term. Absolutely not. They don't get better long term, but that's not really supposed to matter. They'll deal with that after they win the Super Bowl this year. But if they get Devontae Adams, they just might win the Super Bowl this year. So that's a trade you could sell.
I'll tell you the other, if I could grow that trade, because I do think Ayuk's worth more than Devontae. If I could get Michael Mayer, the Notre Dame tight end, I would absolutely do. If I could get Mayer and Devontae for Ayuk, I would do it.
I like that.
Let's hit a couple supers here. We got Dale who says, Brock is the reason we can get to the Super Bowl with the O-line that we have. The stats for protection and no sacks are because of Brock. Well, the lack of sacks, the fact that the Niners allowed the 6 fewest sacks, yeah, that has a lot to do with Brock's escapability. Rizaki says, Kirkland Costco brand sparkling water is better than LaCroix. Taste and price. Try it. 35-pack for about $12. Also, leave the gate open for Larry when you leave practice. You didn't last year.
There's so many. Last year, I was trying to do those like reports walking off. Those are against the rules now.
Are they?
They're against the rules.
It's called the Grant.
And they're all, it's the Grant rule. They're all over me. They're like, Grant, you can't do that. I'm like, oh, why? Oh, because there's a rule. Oh, because you just decided I can't do it anymore. So I have to like walk over to the building and they're like watching me.
When did the rule get enacted?
A Good question.
Because you did this at minicamp.
I was a rookie minicamp. I could do it. OTAs 2 weeks later, it was suddenly against the rules. It's like, oh, funny thing. And it's like when they say it's against the rules, like, who made the rule? You made the rule. What are you talking about? It's against the rules. All right, fine. Whatever.
You ought to do something to create a new rule, like maybe walk on your hands or do.
They hate me enough, Larry. I want to go to Costco. I want to get Costco brand sparkling water, Costco brand golf balls, and Costco brand white tees are the best in the business. Got to go to Costco.
This is Larry Krueger for Kirkland brand water. This is the only water that I drink.
We got to see you can get that first. I love that.
Larry Krueger for Costco. It'd be awesome. I'd love to have Costco as a sponsor.
It's a local brand.
Amazing. Be amazing. Well, Kirkland, Washington, not too local, but regional. Joseph Stockbridge. What up, Vato Locos? Could you see Jed trading Shanny after Purdy gets paid if Andy Reid is on the market? What would you get for Shanahan? Well, what did the Raiders get for Gruden?
Two ones, two twos. Why do I know that? I don't think. Could you get two ones and two twos for a coach today? Maybe.
If Kyle Shanahan got into a hot rhythm and won a couple Super Bowls, I think with the number of teams that are kind of copying his offense, he probably could get two ones, two twos.
You wouldn't trade him in that case. But like, let's say Purdy gets paid and they still don't win a Super Bowl and Purdy's starting to get beat up a little bit because they never invest in the offensive line and they're still like 30
time rules.
Yeah, and they're still like 32nd in the league in passing, and they still won't let him go hurry up or set his own protections. And there starts to be a little bit of friction because Brock will tell exactly how he feels, and now he's gotten paid. And after a game, he's like, yeah, it'd be nice if, you know, the coach would let me be in charge of the or something. Yeah, I could see Jed eventually being like, you know what? This marriage isn't working, and I'm sticking with Brock. So, Kyle, it's been 13 years, and you still haven't won a Super Bowl. Man, we're trading you. You can see that down the line.
Andy Reid had 13 years in Philly.
Yeah, 13.
If you said to me, does Shanahan get more or less years in San Francisco with zero rings, I'm going to say he gets more, which would be very frustrating.
He gets less. I think Brock Purdy puts pressure on him. If they feel that he's a legit franchise quarterback and they still can't get the Super Bowl, all of a sudden people will be like, well, maybe another coach could do better with this quarterback. I don't, because his system is very run oriented, and they really don't invest in pass protection. That could be an issue when the quarterback's making $65 million a year. It's not an issue now in Jed's eyes, but if he gets hurt and the guy who gave up the sack is freaking Spencer Burford or Colton McKivitz, that could be an issue.
I'm telling you right now, Brock goes down this year, 49ers are not going to win any games. They're not winning with Dobbs. They're not winning with Allen. I like Mordecai, but I won't even say that they're winning with Mordecai.
Well, if they get Justin Fields, all bets are off.
Well,
they can get Trey Lance back.
Fields,
how about that?
Fields with his 4.4 speed, and Kyle is the offensive play caller, and all these weapons, gotta think could do something.
They could do something.
This offense, but I can't see them going that direction. Ricky Williams says package Brandon Ayuk with picks for Davante Adams in their first. Yeah, if they would do it. If I'm the Raiders, that's another team. If the Raiders offer their first, don't let them off the line because their first is probably going to be in the top 10 for sure. For sure.
It seems to me that if they get Davante Adams, they would be the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl. And if they didn't win the Super Bowl this year with Davante Adams, then you might just be like, all right, let's trade Kyle, man. Like, there's nothing more we can do. That was the team of all teams. If they get Davante Adams, they're better than last year.
Seriously.
They should do that.
I mean, it would eliminate excuses, but it would also shorten their window.
Hell
yeah.
It would
shorten their window.
Win the damn Super Bowl. I don't want to hear about a window. Win the freaking now, this one.
No, I hear you.
While Kittle's still here.
I think there's a lot of people who are kind of in that mode right now are like, you know what? I'm tired of hearing about the window.
Yeah, your window is Trent Williams being on your team. How about that?
Yeah.
He's 36. He just turned 36 like 3 days ago. Win it this year.
Blood Moon drops this one. Trade B.A., Braden Willis, and Danny Gray, LOL, for Adams and Mayer and Michael Mayer. I'm sure the Raiders are dying for Danny Gray. If Al Davis
like more of like
alive,
an NBA trade than an NFL trade. I don't know why NFL they don't have like multiplayer trades like that very often, but it's usually
there should be.
It would make the league more exciting, but they usually don't do that.
They don't. Anytime you're talking about somebody threw out three-way trades. There's no, when was the last three-way trade?
They should spice it up.
Let me see some trades. A couple more topics here. With camp opening, the position battles come to the forefront. What do you think? I mean, this is what I got down on paper. Number two quarterback between Dobbs, Allen, and Mordecai. Number six running back between Garendo, Schrader, and Mason. Six wide receiver between Conley, Ronnie Bell, T. Martin, Danny Gray, Tay Martin. Right guard, Pooney, Feliciano, Burford. Maybe center, Brendel, Nugent, Zakel, Kingston, Ben Bartsch. Free safety, Mustafa, Hufanga. If Hufanga's not ready, Green, Renardo Green. Maybe six corner, Luter, Womack, Yottam, Ambry. What's the position battle or two that you think is really going to be worth watching this summer?
Well, it's for a starting job, so weak side linebacker. It's hard sometimes to judge that position without tackling because their job is to knife through the hole and hit the running back and bring him down. But that's the most important battle, because if D. Winters ends up being Dre Greenlaw 2.0, the Niners are in a great spot. But if he struggles and Devondre Campbell is washed, the Niners are in trouble because they couldn't stop the run last year with Greenlaw. So that linebacker spot, if either of us, anyone there, can judge a linebacker without full collision, that'll be great. The fans will need to know that.
I love Graham. He looked great in the preseason, but he didn't play in the regular season. Fred Warner said Winters has had a great offseason, so we'll see.
The best of anyone on the team. That's what he said, so let's see it.
But the linebacker thing is huge because you're right. If Devondre Campbell and D. Winters and Graham and these guys can step up and play great, then they don't miss Greenlaw and they're off and running. But if Greenlaw is going to be gone till December and Campbell can't replace him and those other young guys aren't ready, and now you've lost your number one linebacker against the run, I think, and you weren't great against the run last year, the run D could be a major problem. So that's what I'm looking at.
One thing we saw too, like, I guess it's not something to really look at too closely in training camp, but just big picture this year, Fred Warner is considered the best linebacker in football. He might be a little overrated. Like, he's great in coverage.
Right.
Great. But against the run, I mean, it's not his natural position. He played nickel, outside linebacker, say something outside the box in college. And I think the reason he's been so successful against the run, play behind Eric Armstead or Armstead and Buckner, and you're going to be clean most of the time. Last year, Armstead was out. Hargrave is a non-factor against the run. He was getting blocked more by offensive linemen. As a result, he was missing a lot of tackles and he was not as big of a factor against the run. So he has something to prove this year, especially with Greenlaw out.
No question. He's had his legs protected up front. And I don't know if they have the defensive tackles to do that right now. That's going to be interesting to see. I think defensive tackle overall could be an interesting spot to just see how this whole thing shakes out.
It pains me to praise Eric Armstead because he tried so hard to get my credential pulled, but he was good at run defense when he played.
You saw he's inactive right now for
I mean, it's to be expected. Still coming back off that injury. He may never be anything ever again, but when he was healthy, he was really helpful for this team.
Pretty cold, by the way the Niners kind of yanked his sheets. Pretty cold.
Yeah, I agree
with it because there's no room for sentimentality in personnel evaluation. But this was a guy that had spent 9 years with you, badly wanted to be a 10-year guy, and you know, got shown the door. And not only got shown the door, it was like they offered him so little. It was like, how we better offer him, you know, an amount that he can't accept.
Well, maybe we're seeing why the way Armstead made it seems like, okay, such a slap in the face. Yeah, but what if you miss the first half of the season? Like, what if your timetable for recovery is you'll be back in November, maybe, and that's something you haven't said publicly in that case, I completely understand what the Niners are coming from. Like, oh, you're going to be ready for the playoffs? All right, well, we'll pay you for that. But it seems like Jacksonville is willing to pay him for whatever. And their coach, Doug Peterson, already said, like, you need some guys who, you know, reinforcements for the playoffs. Like, man, good luck making the playoffs, first of all. We'll see. I don't know about that whole Eric Armstead thing. But yeah, Greenlaw without arms, excuse me, Warner without Greenlaw and Armstead has a lot to prove.
That's a big one. That's a big one for sure. How good is Malik Collins is a big part of this year for the Niners. And as far as Armstead,
Jordan Elliott,
I don't necessarily blame the Niners necessarily for saying goodbye to Armstead from the standpoint of he had chronic type injuries. You know, plantar fasciitis, chronic. The knee issue he's got, chronic. He wasn't going to be healthier. So, I mean, and he's still going to be paid a lot. And that's, you want to talk about the number one way you lose in the NFL. Have a bunch of guys making a bunch of cash who don't get on the field. That's how you lose in the NFL.
So they avoided that. They made the right call with Armstead.
Yeah, they made the right call. How about Hughescheck? Hughescheck this week, some tough talk about Lynch. And, you know, Lynch told him, hey, you know, I didn't get a warning in late in my career and this and that. And he's just like, don't tell me stories, John. Tell me what you're offering me. He seems really, to me, Hughescheck seems really ungrateful. For a guy who has been paid a shit ton of money to do pretty average work, I think. I mean, this guy never touches the ball. Is he a dominating lead blocker? No. He's a receiving fullback, jack of all trades. You know, he's a Swiss Army knife, but the guy's been paid like a pillar, like a foundation piece. And he seems bent that this gravy train's coming to an end. It's like, bro, I think this is the end of the road for you. End of the line.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
I
let's
mean,
go
I like
through,
the guy, but I mean,
I'm going to give you some stats for Kyle Juszczyk. Cause this kills me, man. All right. 7 years with the Niners. Okay. He has 165 catches in 7 years and he has 55 carries. Okay. So we're talking, in seven seasons, 220 touches, okay? Guess how much money the Niners have paid him. Just guess.
$100 million.
$38 million. $38 million for 220 touches over seven seasons. Man, they took care of you, buddy. Don't talk about being disrespected. You're the most overpaid player in the league in franchise history. $38 million to go in motion and make some blocks and touch the ball once or twice a game. Man, what a life.
Wait. Once or twice a game? He had five carries. he had five carries. He had 14 receptions. This guy didn't touch it 20 times all year.
Yeah. Yeah. So hold on. He's played 108 games with the Niners and touched the ball 220 times. So that's essentially two touches a game. Two touches, some blocks, and nice motion shifts. But other than that, man, and I gave him like $7 million a year for that, man. That's stealing.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And, you know, he does some good things, but yeah. I got to think this is it. I mean, last year they tried to replace him with Coletto. Coletto wasn't quite an NFL athlete. This year they went with a real NFL athlete in Garendo. I don't know if Garendo's a fullback. I guess we'll find out. But I think this is the last year for Hughescheck in a Niner uniform. I'd be shocked if he were a Niner next year.
Yeah.
Absolutely shocked.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think they want to move on. Just can Kyle function without a fullback? Can he find another one? He's had a tough time finding another fullback, another tight end.
I mean, what you get somebody who's athletic and 220 pounds. You basically never really use the fullback anyway. I don't get it. Okay.
Oh, no. Just find the next fullback who's pretty good and just overpay him for 7 years. Do that.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like there aren't a lot of fullbacks in the game. There's only probably seven or eight teams that even use a fullback.
Could you name another fullback in the league?
Yeah, Dallas had the guy who was at North Dakota State. I'm forgetting his name.
I couldn't. Patrick Ricard, maybe. Is that a guy?
Yeah, he's an offensive lineman. I mean,
that's why I feel like Juszczyk gets too much credit. Man, no one can name fullbacks. You're the one people have heard of. The one guy. Fullback should not be an all-pro position or a pro bowl position. It should be tight ends and running backs. That's it. No fullback. What is this, 1992?
The Hunter Lemke from Dallas.
Never heard of him.
That's the only other fullback I can think of.
Never heard of him.
I mean, Denver uses a fullback. There's a couple teams that use fullbacks, but it's rare. It's rare. I just think if Garendo runs 4.3 and it's really 225 pounds, then he probably should get the gig. And I'd give it to him sooner rather than later. What about give me a couple last ones here? Surprise camp on a positive side, surprise camp guy, and give me a surprise camp on a negative side. Who's going to be the positive surprise of camp? Who's going to be the negative surprise of camp?
I'm still mad about Juszczyk complaining. I'm sorry. I'm going to get to that question in a second. I'm looking at Bruce Miller's numbers. He played 77 games with the Niners and touched the ball 104 times. Like, how much better was Juszczyk than Bruce Miller? Really? Bruce Miller could block. He never touched the ball either. He could go in motion.
I mean, senior citizens are safer.
Yeah, I shouldn't have gone to Bruce Miller. That's true. He was, it's true. At least Juszczyk was respectful. And
Juszczyk is the kind of guy that wouldn't beat you. He wouldn't beat you with your own cane, where Bruce Miller.
That was a rough way to go out. And then he came back, had a comeback. Anyway,
I'm going to tell you my Bruce Miller story.
Ask me the question again. Sorry, I was in Juszczyk mode. I can't believe he's has the nerve.
Camp positive, camp negative. But let me tell you my Bruce Miller story. So it was years ago. Probably 2013, right? He's on the team. Yeah. We're down in San Diego taking the kids to some Padres games and SeaWorld and all that. We're having dinner in the gas lamp, and I see Bruce Miller. And this was after he was cut by the Niners. So he goes, Krug, hey, what's up, man? And I'm like, hey, what's up, Bruce? How you doing?
His night by Pier 39?
Yeah, this is after his night. So this is like six months later. He's down at the gas lamp. He's walking around. He recognizes me. We kind of do the bro hug, and we're talking for a couple minutes. I'm like, good to see you, man. Hey, good luck to you, man. You know, take off, start walking. And so my kid's like, who is that? I'm like, oh, that's Bruce Miller of the Niners. And so anyway, so I start telling the story. I'm like, oh, he's on the Niners? And I'm like, well, he's no longer on the Niners. And then my kid's like, well, why is he no longer on the Niners, Dad? And then I have to tell the story of why he's no longer on the Niners. And then after about three quarters of the way through the story, my kid looks at me, and he's probably like six or seven at the time, my youngest kid. And he's like, Dad, if that's true, why is he your friend? And I couldn't explain it. It's like, why is a guy who beats up old people with their cane Dad's friend?
You're like, well, he's not my friend. I just,
he's like, I'm I like, know well, him. He's not a great friend, but you guys hugged. Yeah.
Well, innocent until proven guilty.
It was a tough explanation. Blood Moon says, stop knocking on the door and break it the F down. All right.
They've been knocking politely for like 5 years.
Seriously. It's like the Bum Phillips. We knocked on the door. We're kicking on the door. We're going to kick that motherfucker. All right. Surprise camp, positive side. Surprise camp, negative side. Give me one positive surprise from camp, one negative surprise that we can bank on in camp this year.
Okay. How about Cam Latsu for the surprise positive? He catches the ball this year. And everyone's like, wow, he's pretty good. He can catch the ball. I don't want to. He's an easy target. Last year, we made a lot of fun of Cam.
He had a rough camp.
I'm really looking forward to Cam Latsu putting that behind him and catching the ball. Although last time I saw him, he was still rehabbing. So I don't know what's up with Cam.
So Cam would be your positive. Who's your negative?
And Drake Jackson. Drake Jackson having a great camp would be a surprise positive. Although I don't have much faith in that one.
I don't either.
Surprise negative? That's interesting.
Surprise negative.
Pearsall?
Is what?
He's gonna not have a great camp. He's already hurt. A lot of pressure on him as a first round pick. A lot of scrutiny. I think people. He did pretty well in OTAs and minicamp. He showed what he can do. But so the expectations are high. I don't know if he's gonna reach them.
I'm gonna say surprise negative. I'm going to go Drake Jackson as well. I just think that knee is a problematic thing, and they really need him. I mean, they need Beal and Jackson to fire this summer, and I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen for Jackson. Maybe it happens for Beal. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. He's a great guy, but I would say that's my negative surprise. My positive surprise is going to be Tanner Mordecai. I think Tanner Mordecai.
Like that.
I think he's going to take somebody's job. I don't know if it's
I want to see how many reps they actually give Tanner Mordecai in 7-on-7, 11-on-11. Like, do we get to see it, or are they just going to bury him and stash him on the practice squad as their little secret? I don't know.
I know. Well, that's a good one, because if he plays well in camp, if he plays really well in camp, they may bury him and not play him in the preseason to try to hide him. Because
now, last year, Brandon Allen was the fourth guy, and he got reps in camp.
Yeah, he did.
He did. Not every day, but some days he did. So let's see Tanner get him.
I think Tanner Mordecai's real. We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll find out. Last topic before we jet. There's a rumor out that Hassan Reddick, who obviously was the reason that Brock Purdy had the bad elbow, and then he got traded by the Eagles to the Jets this offseason. Now the talk in New York is that he's really unhappy and that the Jets may wind up trading Hassan Reddick before week one. And some of the speculators out there are speculating that the 49ers should have interest in Hassan Reddick. The speculation was for a 2025 third round draft choice. You know, we just talked about Drake, and I'm a little skeptical, and I'm a little skeptical on Beal. And I think if that skepticism is real, and it's real, I'd have to be interested in Hassan Reddick for a third round pick.
Okay. I'm not an expert on East Coast sports, but I'm pretty sure what's going on with Reddick is that he's like Ayuk. He wants an extension. And the Eagles are like, no, go. And the Jets traded for him. And Reddick was like, great, you traded for me. I'll take that extension now. And the Jets were like, oh, we don't want to do that either. And Reddick's like, why would you trade for me? I want an extension. So if the Niners traded for him, sure, they'd probably have to extend his contract. And it'd be funny to watch Brandon Ayuk's face as that went down. I don't think that's going to happen, but it could. It seemed like they're trying to save money for Brock, but I don't know.
I will say this. You can never have enough pass rush. I mean, absolutely. You just never can. I mean, it's like pitching in baseball. You can never have enough. All right, that's going to do it for us. Grant, what do you got cooking the rest of the day? I know you're hitting the golf links. You're going to play
my 14-year-old nephew hit me up and asked if I'd take him golfing. And I said, absolutely. Even though my back is broken, I'm going to work it out, take a little ibuprofen, and then I'm done for a month.
Out there by 4, and then can you get the round done by 8?
Oh, he's 14, so we're doing the 9-hole for sure.
9-hole.
For sure, yeah. And when he's 16, I think we'll work up to the 18. By little. He's just starting. I'm just starting too.
Hit it straight. And if you're way out of bounds and you find a Titleist too, that could be me. I have a power fade and I've hit many balls out of bounds.
Hold on. We got two more super chats from curious people that want to know things.
Look at this at the very end. Sliding in here. Ameya Varma. Why did Armstead try and pull your credential, Grant?
Because of the Kinlaw thing. He took a thing I said out of context and tried to argue that I come to work and purposely try to incite athletes to hit me so I can retire and sue them, which is not what I try to do. But that's the argument he made, and I didn't get my credential pulled, so I really hope he has a good time in Jacksonville.
If there was one sentence that I think you probably would want to take back, is the sentence about, you know, I could sue. You know,
it was more like a hypothetical, like I wouldn't do it. But like the question was, were you scared of Kinlaw? And I was like, no, because there were witnesses. And if he hit me, like he kind of knows and I kind of know that it's like, and he's like, you want him to hit you? Like, no, I don't want Javon Kinlaw to hit me.
It was premeditated. Sure, I don't want that to happen. Premeditated.
That's not my goal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Batman 29 says, B.A., Bolden or Crabtree, which one is the best? In their prime, I'll take Bolden. I like Bolden. I'm a Bolden man myself.
Oh, man. The most talented one is B.A. But
Bolden beat the Niners in the Super Bowl.
Bolden didn't run routes. He just ran into people, and people would bounce off him. It was incredible. He was great. Borderline Hall of Famer. He was the number one option on a Super Bowl winning team. You got to give him that.
I'll give Bolden this. On the same day that Bolden won the Super Bowl for the Ravens, Crabtree lost the Super Bowl for the Niners.
Bolden kicked ass in that Super Bowl, and Crabtree didn't.
Do you remember the near sack by Ahmad Brooks that flushed Flacco to the sideline, and then he just threw up a prayer, and Bolden came
on like third and 15?
Yeah,
came down and Bolden brought it down on Carlos Rogers' face. Yeah,
I think it might have been Chris Culliver. Might have been Chris Culliver.
Okay, yeah. Who all those corners got destroyed in that game?
Destroyed, absolutely destroyed. Mm-hmm. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Grant. Thanks to all you guys. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle. See you next time. We'll be down at camp starting tomorrow. Peace.
Yeah, never met a man I've been scared of. Careful, you gon' get exactly what you asked for. Careful.
It's time to get the world talking about Black-led brands. We all have our favorites, our ride or dies, and ones we can count on to help us live our best lives. But we can't keep them all to ourselves. So if you're feeling like a Black Opal beauty, tell somebody. If the lip bar gives you a lip for every drip, let them know. And if your hair is doing the do, shout that out too, because one shout out leads to another, and almost half of Black-led brands are discovered by word of mouth. Join Walmart in shouting out your favorite Black-led products, creating a new world of choices at walmart.com/blackandunlimited.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.